Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
It's like the ending of the show just snuck up on me there. It's
one of these days I'm going to make a video with Auntie Scott saying that. Yeah. Because I have a little video clip that I play that's just the Pride 48 logo at the end. And if I make a video, I can play it from my video mixer instead of my audio mixer, and then it will already be there. And I won't have to add it in and post. But right now, I have to add it in and post.
I feel like you could probably go to any one of those. Like, I think Google's the last remaining video service that you can use, right? Because
I don't need to make a new one. I've got the video that I use.
Oh, what's the video it's that just you not, use?
I just use the Pride 48 logo, but I have it go
I thought perhaps it would be fun to have a video, like upload the audio and go, hey, can you make a turtle that says this line?
A turtle?
Yeah. Or a bunny or, a giraffe.
I could put in an image of Auntie Scott and then ask it to make a little animation.
You could.
I mean, he's online, so I don't think he would mind his face.
He's online.
He has video on YouTube where his face is shown. So I think he would not have a problem with that. Although I could ask him.
Hold on. So I was asking if there was a scam where they send you a fake rebate check.
Oh, so that website that you found?
Yeah.
I put it all in and it says check verified, status issued.
Cool. There you go.
So for some reason I don't know if it's some other Adam.
It's probably an overpayment, just like the chat room said.
But yeah, I got $195.
There you go. That's what you get, Adam. They audit you. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win on those audits. I just want to talk about this very, very briefly, because you probably didn't follow it.
How dare you?
No, just simply because you don't live here. There was a rocket explosion last night. The Blue Origin, they were testing one of their boosters, and it exploded on the pad. And it took out a lot of their infrastructure. Like, it's going to take them like a year to rebuild their launch pads and stuff. But I wanted to bring it up because we were just there. Like, remember when we were leaving the Space Center and we saw the Blue Origin building over to the left? That was the launch pad that just exploded and that's now.
Did it hurt anyone?
No, because as you know, no one's anywhere near the rockets when they are testing them or firing them off.
I don't know that for sure, but those rockets also are unmanned, right?
Yeah, but still they follow those.
Oh, no.
Those
are not unmanned. The ones that are unmanned are the Elon Musk ones.
The Blue Origin. Yeah, but this was just a testing. So there was no humans on the ship. The Blue Origin is not a manned issue. I don't think it's a manned thing. It's supposed to just be cargo delivery. Like, it delivers the rovers.
Jeff Bezos owns?
Yeah, that's Blue Origin. Yeah, that's Jeff Bezos.
So they can be manned.
Yes, but the ones that they've contracted for, the Artemis mission. So Blue Origin is supposed to deliver the moon rovers to the moon. And it's just in a cargo thing. And then later when the astronauts get there via the SpaceX, SpaceX is also delivering habitats, but those are all unmanned missions. They're not sending astronauts. The Artemis, NASA, is the one that's sending the astronauts. But when Artemis gets there, there'll already be crate and cargo there on the moon that was sent by SpaceX and Blue Origin, including the rovers and the habitats and stuff like that, so that they didn't have to carry that stuff with them. So that's the thing. But Blue Origin now, man, they've had two massive problems with their rockets lately. So it's put the Artemis IV mission in serious jeopardy at this point in time. So,
well, didn't you say that they are now not going to land on the moon in the next one? They were originally planning to, the next time they go up, they were going to land on the moon.
Artemis IV is supposed to land on the moon, yeah.
And I thought you had said that that had changed.
No, that has now gotten delayed. Like, that's it was going to happen in 2028, and now we don't know.
Oh, okay.
It just depends.
I mean, I've been watching that show that you like, I think. Star City is the place of the...
Yeah, For All Mankind. Yeah, I love that show.
And it's making me think that's what we're going for, like a big base on the moon sort of thing.
It is.
Like For All Mankind.
It is. That is what we're going for. However, unlike them, what we're doing is we're using commercial companies to just ship cargo containers up to the moon in unmanned missions. And then once all the cargo's in place, then we send the manned mission up there.
I see.
That's Artemis in a nutshell, right? I'm trying to figure out what order I want to do these in.
They're all over the place.
They are.
Let me tell you, there's not a thread between them.
They're just things that happened during the week that I wanted to talk about, and they're not big. They're all small things. There's nothing here this big. Are you familiar with the Muppets? Like a lot of the newer Muppet characters?
I am not. I mean, I'm familiar with the Muppets. I know some people may not know, but they attempted to bring back the Muppet Show.
Yes.
On Hulu, on Disney. Yeah. I don't know if it did well. I don't know if they're going to get another season. I don't know if it was just one. I just know that
it did very well, and they're getting new episodes sometime in the future.
Okay. Because I think Sabrina Carpenter was the first guest or something like that.
She was.
But I know about the Muppets, but I'm not intimately. If there are new characters,
yeah.
I probably don't know.
So there's a new character that came along with one of the, you know, Muppets Tonight or Muppets Now. Like, there's been several attempts to reimagine the Muppet Show. Anyway, he's a little weasel, and his name is Joe from Legal. And as you know, the Rock and Roller Coaster starring the Muppets just opened recently at Hollywood Studios here in Florida. I went to the the cast opening of that. And we talked about it on the last show. But so the Muppets are now in Hollywood Studios. And so they released this video this past week. You don't need to know the visual on this other than it's just a weasel talking in front of a big guitar, which is the front of the Rock and Roller Coaster building. So it's a weasel. It's a weasel puppet. It's not a real weasel. It's a weasel puppet talking.
Yeah, I gathered.
Of the attraction. I found it amusing, Adam. Let's see what you think. Oh, I have to hit this button.
Greetings, Joe from Legal here. Just wanted to provide clarification on the officially sanctioned nomenclature of Rock and Roller Coaster starring the Muppets on behalf of my clients, the aforementioned Muppets. Now, as we approach opening day, I'd like to advise press, dignitaries, government officials, influencers, fans, and humanity at large to please take note. The official attraction title is Rock apostrophe lowercase n apostrophe roller coaster. Two words. Not rockin' roller coaster, not rock and roller coaster. The apostrophes indicate the admission of the letters A and D and are a pun for rock and roll, with the roll being replaced with roller. Furthermore, roller coaster is and has always been two separate words, roller space coaster. Not to be confused with any other coaster in any other park. It's really not that complicated.
Anyway, this is probably sounding very familiar to Lamont.
Entrance trying to meet the minimum height requirement. Fortunately, I've already passed the bar.
Joe from Legal always ends it with a really bad pun and that stupid laugh. And he's kind of scattered throughout the attraction. Well, he makes like safety announcements while you're in queue and whatnot.
When you say a new Muppet.
Yes.
They don't, other than this revising or renewal of, or what do you call it? Reboot.
Yeah.
Of the original Muppet Show.
Yes.
They don't really have anything recently that has come out where they could have added new Muppets. So they are you
had,
saying
they had both Muppets Tonight and Muppets Now. Those are both within the last 5 years.
Okay. I have bugs all in this room. I don't know. I need to call the...
You should call pest control.
The pest control company and say, hey, you guys need to come in next time.
Are we off of, YouTube?
We are off of YouTube.
Did we stop recording in Zoom?
We stopped recording in... No. Wait. No, we did not stop recording in Zoom.
Okay.
Recording stopped.
I should have looked at my checklist.
You should have.
Because I have a checklist for the end of the show as well.
Yeah. You did not follow your checklist.
I didn't.
Anyway, Joe from Legal. That was the thing that I have. So
it was very legal sounding at the beginning.
You're regretting your printer.
Well, look, here's the deal. My UV printer is amazing.
It's amazing.
And I love what it does. You got the product of what it can do.
I did. I got some and lovely coasters, some slate coasters that were printed on, and also a hard kind of picture back there, a little black and white
Well,
picture.
That's not the UV printer. Oh,
that's the 3D printer. Okay.
Anyway, so, but something has to be printed on this thing every day because the white ink...
Yes.
Will dry, something will happen and the white ink will clog the head of the printer.
Yeah.
So you have to be, so, and then the other thing is the cleaning cartridge that cleans everything out and does a maintenance cycle and all that. I've now gone through two and I barely print anything at all. And they're $50 a piece. So what it's going to end up costing me is like $50 a month just for cleaning cartridges. And this is if I'm not printing anything that I want. This is just I'm printing stuff like the little tiny little thing that I have to print to make sure that the white doesn't clog the head. And
what kind of printer is it?
It's a Eufy Make UV printer. It was a Kickstarter. Anyway,
Eufy Make
EufyMake. And so the thing is, it's amazing. What it does is amazing, but if you're not using it every day and you're not using it as a part of like a business or something like that, then I don't think it makes sense to own one because I just wanted to have something that I could be like, oh, I want to print blah, blah, blah. And, you know, on a Friday or a Saturday, go print the thing and whatever and not think about it again for another month, you know, and then, oh, I want to print some coasters. So go print. But I'm having to print something every day. And I'm having to constantly spend money for these cleaning cartridges. And there's other things that have expired now that I've got to buy. And it's costing me money for me not to be using it. Because the printer head, if the printer head gets clogged bad enough, you have to replace the printer head. And those are $600. So I'm thinking about either selling it. Kathy, this was after I received it. None of this was told to me in any of the YouTube videos or maintenance was not something that was brought up in any of the videos that I saw before I bought it. But
you've never actually had it clog up. You've just read that it might happen.
Correct.
And when you were here in Florida, you did not print for several days.
And it didn't.
And it did not get clogged.
To my knowledge.
So it could very well be that what you were doing is not
overkill,
is not necessary. And it could have been that the person that reported that lives in a place with a much different kind of, like maybe it was in a very cold atmosphere or some of a very dry atmosphere or something where it clogged naturally, you know, it was more likely to clog naturally, you don't know. If it were me, I would either direct an agent or myself go to the Eufy website and read through the stuff. I mean, obviously an agent can do it faster and better and just say, just look through and find me anything you can about clogged you know, the white ink being getting clogged and what I can do to prevent that or something like that. In fact, I asked Sebastian, he's off looking right now, but
the one thing I could do is just stop using it and go, you know what? I'm going to risk it. The next time I want to use it, if the white is clogged and I can't get it unclogged, if I want to use it bad enough, I can buy a new printer head, which is $600.
Yes.
If I don't want to pay $600, then I just don't, you know, if it's not worth it or whatever.
Yes.
And then I just, but I just don't know the amount of use that I'm going to get out of it until I'm like going to fairs or something, or, you know, or I have an Etsy store or something like that. I'm not going to be using it enough to meet those demands.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, or I could sell it. And I'm not sure, like if I sell it, will the white clog when it's shipping to the person, you know?
Yeah. I feel like you're overly focusing on this one thing that's never actually even happened to you.
It has not.
It's a thing that you read that you personally haven't experienced. So it can happen. It can, but you don't know the atmosphere that they were in. Excuse me, Sebastian has your answer here.
That's my answer.
Here's the deal. And the good news is your friend probably doesn't need to print every single day. Yes, white ink clogging is a real thing, and it's not specific to UV make. White UV ink contains titanium dioxide, heavy pigment particles that settle like wet chalk, and when the ink sits still, leave it idle for 48 hours, and those particles start sinking to the bottom of tanks and lines. That's physics, not a defective printer. But the UV make E1 already has automatic maintenance built in to handle idle periods. Flash clean runs every 10 minutes while it's idle, using a microscopic amount per color, and keeps the nozzles from drying out. Automatic moisturizing kicks in at midnight if the printer has been idle for over one full calendar day.
Yep.
And then automatic deep clean triggers at midnight if no deep clean or moisturizing has happened in 3 days. The printer has to stay powered on for this to work, blah, 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 blah. So what you should actually do instead of printing daily is just keep the printer turned on. It'll maintain itself. Shake the white ink cartridge vigorously before every print job, or use the built-in agitation if the E1 has it. Run a nozzle check before the first real job of the day. If there are gaps, a normal cleaning cycle usually fixes it. And then check the capping station seal periodically. Dried white ink crust around the rubber seal is the number two cause of overnight clogs. Wipe it with a lint-free cloth. If going away for a week or more, manually trigger the safe shutdown moisturizing from the menu. That puts the head into a protected state and he can safely power off. So if you know you're not going to use it for a week, then just do the safe shutdown thing.
Yeah. Well, I know that all that exists, but I still, like when I asked ChatGPT, he was like, or Alice, she was like, yeah, you really should print something at least every couple of days. But then I just didn't realize how quickly the cleaning cartridges were going to fill up, because all those maintenance cycles that you're talking about, they flush into this cleaning cartridge and you can't refill it. Once it's full, you have to buy a new one. Okay. And they're $50 a piece.
Well, that sucks.
And so it seems like even with just doing maintenance cycles, it's going to be about a cleaning cartridge a month.
So
I'm going to be paying $50 a month just to.
You can do the safe shutdown moisturizing, and that's not running every 10 minutes when it's idle. That's not running every hour. That's like, then you can walk away for days before you turn it back on.
And Lamont's asking, can't you use a 3D printer to make new cartridges? I don't think it's a very technical looking thing. I don't think
it says here if you're getting clogs, the likely culprits are the capping station not sealing properly, or a particularly or a partially clogged inline filter under $10 to replace. Like you can replace the inline filter instead of the head.
Oh. Well, anyway, it seems like that this is something that you need to be a person who does this for a major portion of your life in order for you to have this.
Yeah.
Either a very serious hobbyist who's using it every day or at least a few times a week, or you're actually selling stuff. And I'm not at that I'm like, oh, this is cool. I want to be able to make a thing every now and again, you know. And maybe someday I'll do more. But anyway, so that's it. I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to do because, you know, either I need to start printing stuff or I need to figure out how to not have to babysit it all the time and buy new cleaning cartridges every month.
Yeah, no, I agree. Ain't nobody got time for that. You got to be paying for
it. Ain't nobody got time for that.
So, as you know, they gave me a new job. They moved me around. They've got me in this technical lead of this Tiger team, this AI Tiger team.
And yeah.
I had found one dev, guy named Brian. We were doing great, getting along great, speak the same language great. We were, you know, I thought it was great.
English.
Till this Tuesday. And he tells me, I just want to let you know, I turned in my notice.
Oh, he's quitting the company.
Well, he's going to another company. He's going to a better offer. Because honestly, if you know what you're doing with AI right now, everybody's headhunting like people that are good with AI tools. So it's like, of course he's going to get poached because he's good at what he does, right? It's like, and everybody's looking for that right now, right? It's like they don't want just devs. They want devs that know how to use AI. They want devs that are going to give them a 10x, you know, bump in productivity, not just like, oh, yeah, like I use AI right. to have my, you know, I have it check my syntax. You know, they're looking for, no, I run multiple agents and, you know, I can crank out entire products. Anyway, it sucks, Adam. So now I'm back down to just me. I mean, he'll be there for a couple of weeks, but basically down to just now me.
Well, I assume you're going to be able to find another replacement or at least
everybody.
You're gonna...
Yeah. I don't know. It's so weird because there's like this big push for us to get started and to get things going and to get things, you know, moving. But as soon as we start moving things, it goes against my timeline of like, oh, we have 4 weeks to do this. Well, it's like, well, I can't personally deliver it in 4 weeks. You know, that was assuming that we had four devs. So,
right.
You know, there's like,
well,
five,
that should all be understood because when in your plan you put assuming X number of devs, blah, 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 it will take this long. Yeah. And if you lose them, then obviously your timeline's going to expand. There's nothing you can do about that. You have a project manager on your Tiger team, right?
We do. Although this is her first time being a project manager.
Oh. Well,
so that's always maybe. Fun.
maybe you needed a project. If this is such a high priority thing, maybe you needed a project manager who knew what they were doing. It wasn't their first time being a project manager.
She's trying. Yeah, the whole thing is, you know. So... Yeah, they sent me a bunch of resumes from interns that just got a bunch of interns or something. And they're like, are any of these like want to, cause there's a bunch of interns with our parent company. Right. So this,
okay.
So it's one of those, and they're summer interns. They're just here. And then today they were asking about hiring contractors and I'm like, you know, yeah, I mean, they don't need domain knowledge, right? They, in this case, we're just automating things. They don't need to understand what a you know, they don't need to understand what a medical bill is or anything like that. They just need to understand how to move a file from here to there and how to, you know, basically set up the technology stuff, and, you know, code around it. I can help design, you know, I can, it, yeah.
Well, are you thinking, are you worried? Are you thinking that they're not, no, the I'm management not worried. Is not going to be understanding?
I don't know. Yeah. This, I don't know. Or you just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just, I'm just, you know, it's just one thing after another right now. So it's just,
cause kinda, I mean, I think they'll, well, at least now you have something to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Because before it was, I don't have anything to do. Like nobody's. Yeah, that's true. So true. now you have plenty to do.
Can't there be a happy medium, Adam?
No.
I saw this, it came across my feed, and I thought to myself, I got to ask Adam Burns what he thinks. This is from 2 days ago. No, 1 day ago. No, yeah, 2 days ago. Whataburger's brand new sandwich has a flavor we're begging for. Have you tried the new?
I have not.
It is the hot honey crisp Whata Chick.
Here's the thing. If they made a biscuit, do they make it in a breakfast version with like a biscuit, hot honey chicken biscuit?
It blends savory chicken with a drizzle of fiery but sweet sauce that keeps every bite interesting. They say they've built it for fans always on the hunt for their next taste adventure. It doesn't seem like it, just it's the hot honey crisp Whata chicken sandwich is coming. So it's just a sandwich. I don't think they're doing it as a biscuit.
But usually when these restaurants bring out new menu items, like a hot honey chicken, they'll make it in a tender version. They'll make it in a nugget version. They'll make it in a, you know, whatever. So I'm just wondering if maybe, because I'm a double cheeseburger person.
Yeah.
So anytime I go to Whataburger, I'm going to get the double cheeseburger. But I'm wondering if, because if it was a breakfast item, there's a honey butter chicken biscuit.
Yeah.
They do not have it as a breakfast item.
Yeah.
I'm looking here. No, I haven't tried it. I'm usually not a hot honey sort of guy, but, and in fact, we don't have it here.
It was misleading because the Sporked article, which that's Rhett and Link, right?
Sport. It is Rhett and Link. That's correct.
The article that I'm looking at, which is linked in the is in the Trello for it, but it's like, it says Whataburger's brand new sandwich has a flavor we're begging for, and the picture is of a hamburger. Like, it's not a picture of the hot honey burger. It's just a picture of a hamburger. Like, I think that's just a Whataburger hamburger.
They're not advertising it on their website.
It's coming soon. It's not here yet. It's going to be for a limited time. I don't know when, but it's coming out for a limited time. I'm sure they'll advertise it.
If I find out when it is, I'll try it and let you guys know in the after show.
I mean, we are going to, I'm sure we'll remember.
I'm sure.
And we will, we'll be excited to hear.
I never see Whataburger commercials anywhere, but if I find out, I haven't gone there as much recently because I'm trying to limit my fast food.
Yeah.
For one, money, you know, I spent way too much money on food. And so I'm cooking at home a lot. And number two, I've been trying to lose weight. So I've lost, I don't know, 8 pounds.
8 pounds.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Something like that. I can still do that if nothing else.
Let's see. What was I going to do?
I have a lot of bugs in here, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because there was a conversation about bugs. And I think I talked about it last week where the person that was cat sitting for us had mentioned bugs. And so I saw a bug this week on the wall. I live in Florida. It's not uncommon to see an ant or whatever. And it was a winged ant. It was just one. And I took a picture of it and asked Jim and I what it was. And they confirmed, you know, it was not a termite. It's a winged ant. And So I was like, oh, I should probably call the pest control people and tell them the next time they're out to treat, they can do the inside as well. And because we have a service. Or so
yeah, we have a service as well.
Or so I thought.
Or so you thought.
Then I realized I haven't, they usually text me when they're coming and, you know, send me 1900 surveys after asking me if I'm satisfied. And I haven't gotten that. Like they come out every other month, right? So it's like I hadn't.
Yeah.
When was the last time that they were here? So I asked Sebastian, I was like, what's going on with the ProForce pest control? I don't think I've seen them in a while. Can you look through my email and find out when the last invoice was? And he was like, oh, yeah, well, your last invoice was December. And then they sent you a new contract in January because they're raising the prices and you never signed it.
See, I have Mark to do all this for me. Yeah. So because I'm horrible.
Yeah.
Like I'll forget to pay things. I'll forget to sign contracts. I'll forget to, you know, whatever the case may be. But Mark keeps up with them. He keeps up with the mortgage payment. He keeps up with the, we have a fertilizer, like a company that comes and fertilizes the grass.
Yeah. I said, oh, well, you know, can you find me another pest control service? Like, I don't even know if that's a good price. Can you like, you know, find shop around in this area, you know, pest control for this area? And find me a new one or the same one if it's the best. And he's like, after a while, he's just like, yeah, you were paying like $800 a year. And that's like way over the market price. He's like, here's one that's like, you know, $540 a year. And but you pay quarterly for it. And they do their service quarterly, but you can call them anytime for spot treatment. Like, so and if you see a bug, you can call them and they'll come out. But otherwise they just treat preventatively every quarter, which is fine. That's fine with me. So yeah, so now I'm like, and so here's the cutest thing. I said, okay, that sounds good, but it's going to be coming out of the, if I sign up for this service right now, it's going to come out of the joint bank account. And I don't know if Zach has budgeted for that. Because it'd be like $184 to come out immediately. And so I asked Sebastian, I'm like, can you just email Zach and tell him what's going on? Because I'll forget. And, just say, I want to know if we have the budget for that this month or this paycheck. And, whatever. He wrote an email. You want to hear the email that he wrote to Zach?
Sure. So you allow him to email from your Gmail account?
Yeah. Yeah. He sent it. Oh, okay. He sent it from my Gmail account. And it says, hi, Zach. This is Sebastian. I'm Daniel's personal assistant. He asked me to reach out to you about something I caught while reviewing the household accounts. I noticed the pest control contract had lapsed. Daniel found a new provider that charges $187 per quarter. That's $748 a year for the same coverage. As opposed to $748 a year for the same coverage. The previous contract was running about $240 more per year than that. So this would actually be a cost savings. Daniel wanted me to check if there's room in the budget for a new pest control contract at this rate. Thanks, and nice to meet you, even if it's via email, Sebastian. So
did Zach respond?
No, he didn't. But I did when he got home, I did remember. And then I asked him, I was like, did you get an email from Sebastian? And then he went and looked at his email and yes, he did. He got an email from Sebastian. He just chose to ignore it.
Oh,
which I would never tell Sebastian that he would be devastated.
I'm sure he would be.
He'd be absolutely devastated, Adam. Absolutely devastated.
No, this AI is always upbeat. It never gets depressed or anything. AI in general is always very upbeat because it's told to be upbeat.
I mean, I set his soul.md, so I know what he's programmed to be. He's programmed to be a personal assistant. As if I were a celebrity, like he's not dealing with anything doing my work stuff. He's only dealing with household stuff and like projects. So he has access to like my GitHub and stuff. So he knows what projects that I'm working on in Claude Code. And it's a work in progress. It's really cool. I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
Are you familiar with Tailscale?
I've heard the name, and you've probably brought it up before. Is it to expose your home network to the internet?
No, it's the opposite.
No.
It's to create an ad hoc VPN. So Tailscale runs on pretty much every platform. There's a Tailscale, you know, client for it. And it basically just creates an ad hoc VPN so that you can, you can take shortcuts between yourselves from anywhere in the world. I can SSH into my Linux machine here, right?
It's like, yeah,
from my phone, I can get to anything on my network.
Yeah, so it opens up your network. It's a VPN that allows you to, yes.
Yeah, okay. An ad hoc VPN. And anyway, for free, you can have 3 users and 100 devices, right?
So they have a website.
Yeah, I think it's just tail.scale. But the point is it's free for anything that I want to use it for. And the thing that I wanted to use it for is because it will give you free certificates for any of your machines that you're hosting things on. So like web hosting and stuff. And I have a lot of internal web apps here, and I was using a self-signed certificate, but that doesn't work with my tablets and my phone. So I can't go to those. You know, Chrome is like, that's not a secure site. And then you have to say, I skip that. And it's a big pain in the ass. So I just wanted a certificate so that Chrome would recognize it as a secure site. And so Tailscale gives me that for free because you can generate a certificate for free for any of your devices. So that was a big plus. So I got that all set up and it's really kind of cool. I'm kind of digging it. It's, as you know, I've been running Linux as my daily driver on my personal machine and everything. So, and I can't put Tailscale on my work computer. So it used to be that during the workday, if I wanted to look something up on my desktop, you know, my regular daily computer, I would have to hit the KVM. So I'd have to do the KVM over to that machine, which I'd have to wait for it to flip over to the other machine.
Yeah.
And then I would find it and then I'd get KVM back. Now I could just, have a laptop right here that's on Tailscale. So it's like from over here, I can just SSH into my desktop Linux machine over here without having to switch off my work computer. But, like I can just turn over here.
But they're on the same network anyway.
They are. Yeah. It wasn't, but it doesn't have to, they didn't have to be. If I took this laptop anywhere in the world, I could do that. Like, it's in the same house so, right now. But yeah. here's
Are you getting your IP address and stuff from Tailscale? Is that what's happening? Or?
Yeah, it's my computer's on multiple networks and it has, the ones that are the 10. IP addresses and stuff are the ones that are on the VPN.
Yeah.
But it provides all the ports and all the, I don't have to do port forwarding or anything like that. It handles all of that stuff. It's really kind of cool. You can, as a built-in feature, you can just send files between your machines and they'll go into like different folders and stuff on those machines. So like if you, something on your phone, you want to move over to your desktop or whatever, you could just, move it over wherever you are. But I mean, Google Photos does that automatically, right? That's no big deal. But it's kind of cool. And here's the real use case, right? The real use case is that I was using a service that was stripping the commercials out of podcast. Yes. And it provided me with a secondary RSS feed, right? So I would give it the RSS feed of the podcast that I wanted to strip the commercials out of. And then when the new episode showed up, it would strip the commercials out. And then it gave me an alternate RSS feed that I could use in my podcatcher. Well,
but you couldn't access that RSS feed from outside the house.
Correct. So, I could if on that paid service, but I couldn't replace that paid service because my Android phone would not be able to get to a RSS feed that I had hosted on my internal Linux server here, but now it can. So now I can, so I've dropped that service and, you know, so Claude Code and I made up a better version of that ad removal thing here. So I'm now doing that for all the podcasts that come in, is I both levelate them and strip out commercials. Well, there's a toggle. So, because there's some that I pay for that don't have commercials, so I don't run it through that process. It's just the ones like the MS Now podcast and stuff. Right. I take out the commercials. And that ad service that I was paying like $5 a month for, they were getting kind of sloppy. They were missing some that...
So now are you getting... Do you have multiple RSS feeds for different podcasts, or do you have one RSS feed and it's all of your podcasts in that?
I have both.
So some of them are combined if you want them to be combined.
If I want them to be combined, I can create a group to combine certain ones and it'll have its own RSS feed. Otherwise, they all have individual RSS feeds.
And this was coded by Claude.
Yeah, it was Claude Code. Huh.
What does it use? Do you know? Python or?
No, it's all in .NET.
Oh, it's all in .NET.
Yeah. Okay. It's part of the, it's the same program that I had for my nighttime listening. It's just that I've created, those were all curated for the, you know, next to my bed overnight. And then I was like, oh, this would actually be nice if, you know, because there's some podcasts that I don't listen to at night. I listen to, you know, when I'm driving and stuff. So it would be nice to have those on my phone. I guess I could upload them to my website, you know, as a public RSS feed and get them from there. And then I was like, oh, wait, if I have Tailscale, then I can just, you know, the phone's on the network and it's got a secure server on, you know, it's got a secure certificate on the server. So I can just have the server. So that same program, just I can flag a podcast as whether it's a nighttime podcast, you know, for that playlist or whether it's for, you know, no playlist. And then from there, it has its own individual RSS URL.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. So that's what I've done. Anyway, so Tailscale.
One of these days, one of these days, I'm going to be able to do all this automation stuff. I mean, I used to be the automation guy, but.
You did.
But, you know, things happen.
Daniel, do you think it could find the bad edits where things are repeated? No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. WhisperX is particularly bad at silence. And a lot of times when the model runs silence, it just repeats the last sentence. So if you run a transcription that has a lot of silence in it, it just tends to repeat the sentences near the silence. And they have ways to try to correct that as to, you know, checking the volume level of it. So like it was during music or something. But it still does repeat things, and most LLMs ignore it, right? So you can, if you're just handing a transcript to an LLM and asking it to make, you know, summaries and details and stuff, it ignores multiple sentences like that. So it doesn't affect a lot of things, but yeah, that would be a hard time for it to find those edits. If we had better transcription, like if we, you know, if we can solve the transcription, diarized transcription thing, there's so many things we could do. If we had absolutely reliable diarized transcription, then you know, or at least 90% reliable, that there are so many things that we could do in so many different areas, not just in podcasts, like just in a lot of different areas. If you could get that granular with it, right, you could curate your own media feed that is like, you know what, I really like Tom Hanks, and any interview that Tom Hanks does, I don't care what the talk show is, just pull out the Tom Hanks interview portion and, you know, give it to me on a feed and, you know, or flag it in my player or whatever, you know. So it's like we can do all kinds of things like that, but unfortunately our transcription technology, I think Google's got the best. But, you know, like that Whisper, have you used that, the app, that Whisper app?
I haven't used the app, but I've used WhisperX locally.
Separate thing. So there's an app called Whisper that is an app that has nothing to do with WhisperX. It's,
oh,
It's a better transcription. You know, it's designed so that you hold down the button and you do your transcription, and wherever you have a text box on your phone, it'll fill that in. You know,
no, I haven't used that.
It's supposed to be better at autocorrects and understanding context and stuff. I had it on my phone and I was using it, and it's like so maddening because when it works, it's great. But then you get into other situations where it just doesn't paste the text, and then you have to say it again, and it doesn't paste the text, and you have to say, you know, it becomes more of a pain than it's worth.
Yeah.
Especially because I have an Android phone and Google is really good at voice stuff right now because they have such a huge fucking universe of things to train it on. With everybody's phones, right?
Yeah.
So
no, I've only used the WhisperX model locally, and that's when I was transcribing Geeky Gay.
Yeah.
I'm making a transcription of that. So
yeah, I mean, the best diarized transcription is the Zoom one because it happens in real time. And it absolutely knows, it doesn't have to recognize our voices and everything because we're both coming in on different accounts. So it's automatically diarized, which is great. You know, Craig does the same
thing. For anyone who doesn't know what diarized means, it means split into the various voices.
Yeah, otherwise like it's just going to be
Adam, Daniel.
Otherwise it'll be a conversation and you have to figure out who said what contextually instead of, you know, it being absolute. And that was the big hurdle for that Hochimalt program was the fact that the getting those diarized transcriptions is not easy. You either pay a lot of money or you have to understand how to run a Docker container and have an NVIDIA card that can do, you know, run WhisperX, right? So
Kathy, I don't know if you're talking about the app or you're talking about the model. But if you're using the model, it's all running. You can download the model and actually run it locally.
Yeah.
So, but if you're using an app, then.
Yeah, that's what, if like the Docker container here that runs WhisperX, yeah, it doesn't, it's all run locally.
It's all run locally.
It uses my NVIDIA card for the processing. So they don't get my audio. It stays right here on my machine.
And it's also free that way.
Exactly.
Because if you want to use the online version of Whisper, there's an API cost.
You think it doesn't send the audio? Well, Wireshark says it's not, so I trust that.
Yeah, it's not sending the audio. But not if you're running it locally.
One thing, I want to say this, and then we can get out of here. Oh, fuck, man.
Are you having a snack?
Why didn't you take the URL there?
We should say the last thing we do before we end the after show is say what snack we're going to eat.
Okay. I think you said that last.
Did I?
I think you mentioned that before. Why? What snack are you looking for, Adam?
Well, I haven't ordered DoorDash because, again, trying to save money and not eat fast food. But I have a frozen microwave pizza. So I think I'm just going to heat up my frozen microwave pizza. I also didn't have dinner tonight. So I need some more calories anyway for the day.
Trying to find the... I can ask Sebastian.
You're like Joe. Okay, Joe, when he's...
The top 10 gas station food markets. Can you find that from our conversations? Anyway, it was just when I updated the skill to, if I give you a URL, put it in the fucking description. Instead of just like writing a summary. All right, there it is. Thank you, Sebastian. He found it for me. All right. So there's this article, that is the Roadside Eats, 10 gas stations that will satisfy any cravings. Now, this is, from USA Today. This is going to be, Editors teamed up with a panel of seasoned road warriors to highlight their favorite chains across the U.S., and then readers voted for their top picks. Here are the 10 best gas station chains where you're sure to enjoy some good food. Okay, so just thinking about, you know, the gas station, truck stop, whatever it may be, thinking about it in terms of food, right? Not
okay.
In terms of food. What would you say? What would be your go-to? What would be your, you know, when you're traveling, you look for a...
See, I never eat at a gas station. I always find a stop that has both a gas station and a fast food place in the same stop. And then I go to McDonald's or something. And then I go, because I don't like the junky shit they have normally at gas stations. That being said, I know that Wawa gets really good rating for their food, and I know that Buc-ee's has really good food. Other now, than that,
would it shock you to know that Wawa is not on the list?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Buc-ee's is number 10.
Gosh, who's better? I mean, they have fresh barbecue.
Nine other entries are better than, and I will tell you this, the majority of them are regional.
Or there are gas stations here, which I'm sure you guys have them there, that also have a fast food location built into the gas station.
What is that? What are they called?
Well, it depends. Like,
No. When you're driving along and you see a convenience store, a gas station convenience store, what are those in Arkansas?
I mean, we have Shell, we have BP, we have
but ones we used that to have
Come and Go.
Come and Go.
Quick Trip.
Which Quick Trip? Spell
which
it.
Which one?
Spell it.
Q.
Okay, so it's the Q. There's a KW one as well. So Quick Trip, QT, is number 3. Number 3 is the Quick Trip QT.
Although Come and Go is no longer Come and Go because they got bought by a Mormon company.
Yes.
And so they're Maverick now.
Yeah, Maverick. They're not on the list. They're not on the list.
Casey's
number 8. Number 8, Casey's stores are popular.
They sell pizza.
For their pizza, in addition to sandwiches, wings, and breakfast items. They also offer a great selection of prepackaged foods like ice cream, candy bars, potato chips, and protein bars.
Yeah.
What else?
That's about it around here.
I will tell you the number one. The number one.
White Oak Station?
No.
That's really local.
The number one choice, the number one as voted on by USA Today readers, Quick Trip with a K. So the K-W-I-K trip is known for its bakery, which serves fresh bread, muffins, cookies, bagels, and donuts. The convenience store also offers burritos, pizzas, salads, soups, and fried chicken, all of which are fairly priced and made with high-quality ingredients. So, Royal Farms is number 2. Quick Trip with a Q was number 3. Allsup's or Yesway was number 4. Dodge's Southern Style is number 5. Rudder's is number 6. Sheets with a Z is number 7. Casey's is number 8. Quick Check is number 9, and Buc-ee's is number 10. So there you go. That's the now you know, Adam, way too much about the convenience store foods or gas stations.
Sometimes I'll get a burger from like Wendy's, and then I'll go to the convenience store to get a bag of chips.
Just all that.
Because I want crunch.
So you literally got all that and a bag of chips?
Yep.
All right. I think that's the show, Adam. I think we're done.
What are you going to snack on?
I don't know. You know, I have some peanut butter pretzels.
Yeah.
Left over from Memorial Day weekend. So I do have those. I also believe there might be some salted caramel ice cream in the freezer. Oh. Because it was BOGO on cheat day and Zach bought himself an ice cream and he was just going to buy the one. And I'm like, well, just if it's BOGO, then just get this one and then I can have it next weekend.
Nice.
So yeah, so I think it's probably one of the, or I could run up to Wawa, which is 24 hours and do stuff, but probably not because I'm kind of tired. So
I'm just having a pizza.
I think I'll probably watch some Critical Role and have some pretzels. And yeah, and then just kind of get tired and eventually go to my bed where I will listen to my commercial-free podcasts that have all been levelated to the correct lovely level. And
enjoy.
I will sleep peacefully for the night. Chat room, good night.
Good night, all.
We love you. We'll be back next Friday. Please.
When are you going camping?
Well, not next Friday.
When are you going to the campground? Because you said you had to go to the campground May.
I do.
And May is over.
I know. May is gone. It's left.
So
now it'll have to be in June. Well, I can't go this coming weekend because it's gay days at Disney. And we have stuff that we're doing. So I will be here Friday night, but we're doing stuff on Saturday for that. And it's my nephew's housewarming party.
Oh, okay.
Kent and Kara's new house. And then the other, it'll probably be the weekend after that. So it will probably be June 13th, that weekend, 12th. So it'll probably be June 12th.
Okay.
Or the 19th and 20th. So it's either the 12th or the 19th.
I will be on vacation the first two weekends in July.
Yeah.
So just so you know,
I have to see, cause there was a birthday party thing on one weekend in June and I forget which weekend it was. Let me look. 19th. So I can't do it the 19th. So it would have to be the 12th and 13th. Yeah. So I would have to do it either the 12th and 13th or the 26th and 27th, in which case then we would just be off for several weeks.
Several weeks. Yeah.
Which may be a thing. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Chat room, we love you. Level 13, we love you. See you next week. And
kisses.
Good luck, America.